Well, in this day and age, sometimes it's a little bit surprising how often you find out you know what you don't know, or you don't know what you actually do know. You think you don't know what you actually do know. One of those things might be, if I were to say the name of this company, the Rocket Chemical Corporation. Now, if that doesn't ring a bell, it soon will. This company was a small company. There were only three-member team that made up the company. It was awarded a government contract to develop a coating to insulate the Atlas missiles from the rust caused by humidity while they were being stored in the silos. Now, this team worked on this for a long time. It was a painstaking process. They were developing, they were testing, and they ended up discarding 39 different formulations before they found success on their 40th attempt. Now, government contracts are notoriously stringent. There's all sorts of rules you have to go by in developing your product, but they're also typically financially lucrative. However, they do run out, they expire, and the gig runs its course, I guess you could say. And the Rocket Chemical Corporation quickly recognized that the Atlas missile market was in fact very limited. And after all of the intensive work that they had put into this product, their only product, instead of throwing in the towel and assuming a life of mediocrity or trying to struggle on another product development, they could have done that, but instead they took a different direction. They looked at their product and asked themselves, what is a higher purpose for this product? So they looked for a broader application. And what they had created and rebranded, they took it to market, to a bigger market. And they marketed it by highlighting the everyday value of what could be classified or would be classified as a water-based, water displacement solvent. Not water-based, water displacement solvent. So the Rocket Chemical Corporation, their 40th formulation of a water displacement solvent became known as the WD-40 company. And the WD-40 company found real relevance by asking themselves the question, what is my higher purpose? Now, King David asked himself the same question in Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? This is not a new question by any means. You could say for millennia, probably since we started thinking. Philosophers, gurus, scholars, and other experts have been lining up to play what I would call pin the tail on the donkey with the why. Pin the tail on the why am I here donkey. The results have been diverse and largely unsatisfying. No one has nailed it, and frankly, no one has really ever come close. As it turns out, even the world's brightest mind have been stumped by the perennial question of the purpose of human existence. The absence of this knowledge has dealt a devastating blow to generation after generation, confirming the words of Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. If ever there was a time to have this vision, to know the reason why you exist and the knowledge of what you should be doing, that time is now. As time marches on towards the end times, a time of suffering and persecution and Jacob's trouble, as we're told in the Bible, this knowledge is every bit as important now as it has ever been. Now we have a dilemma that it tries to address. The question. The dilemma is, what is life apart from God? The dilemma of life apart from God is the absence of purpose. Richard Dawkins, a well-known atheist, is quoted as saying, evolution has no destination, only a direction, and therefore no purpose. Speaking through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, God makes this declaration. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." When God says everyone who thirsts, he is not talking about people who need a glass of water. He is talking about people who are thirsty for answers, answers to the big questions in life, questions like, why am I here? The same idea is repeated in the New Testament when Jesus, God in the flesh, told the Samaritan woman in John 4 and verse 13, said, "Whoever drinks of this water, physical water from a physical well, will thirst again." When we drink from a glass of water or take a swig from a bottle to quench our thirst, we invariably will become thirsty again. If we think on it, this is an exercise that we could do every day because it shows us our consistent need for satisfaction and should ultimately teach us that anything physical will only ever satisfy us temporarily. We will always be left wanting more. Jesus continued in verse 14 saying, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Notice he referred to the water that I shall give him, as in Christ saying these words. These straightforward words tell us that the only source of real satisfaction comes from Christ. In this context, consider what Peter said about Jesus in Acts 4 and verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." None of the false gods of the world's pagan religions can substitute for the true God of the Bible. Any attempt to find true satisfaction outside of Christ will ultimately fail. Yesterday evening, my family and I, we were sitting and watching an episode of The Chosen. I don't know if you're all familiar. I think it's actually Mormon. It's a depiction of Christ's life. And there's a scene that depicted Jesus healing the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda. Now this show, as you would expect, takes some artistic liberties with the interaction, which of course we are warned about doing. But I did find it interesting that in the dialogue of the show, it highlighted there was Christ told the man in the show, not in the Bible, he said that there was nothing for the man in the pagan practice of bathing in the pool, but instead that he should rise, take up his bed, and leave that place. Continuing in Isaiah from the scripture that we were reading already, in chapter 55, we read, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy?" That's in verse 2. In other words, why do you fill yourself up with junk? People who are spiritually hungry, desperate for meaning and purpose, can fill themselves with what does not satisfy, just as people who are physically hungry can fill themselves up with junk food and spend money on all kinds of stuff, searching for satisfaction, which, of course, they will never achieve by those means. Think about it. People who crave money, status, influence, or material possessions mistakenly believe that they will find fulfillment in these worldly pursuits. It slips their minds that there are well over 6,000 years worth of anecdotal evidence that tells the same story again and again. Nothing physical will ever satisfy. Now, you could ask the question, how do we find the right source for meaning and purpose? Now, the remainder of Isaiah 55 and verse 2 holds that key. "Listen carefully to me." This is what God says. "Listen carefully to me. The knowledge of our purpose, or what the Bible refers to as the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations," that's a reference of Colossians 1 and verse 26, "cannot be found in what we tell ourselves and what our friends say or what the world's great philosophers have devised." The knowledge only comes from listening to God. And how do we listen to the supreme ruler of the universe today? Well, of course, it is through his word, the Holy Bible. He desires that we consume, he desires that we take in, and that we internalize his word, because his word is the only source of true satisfaction and fulfillment in life. It must become ingrained in our very being. This lesson was reinforced during Jesus' encounter with Satan, the devil, in Matthew in chapter 4 and verse 3. This confrontation, when Satan confronted Jesus to tempt him after a 40-day fast, he appealed to Jesus' physical needs and desires, saying, "Command that these stones become bread." Jesus' response was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus was leading by example and teaching us that there is far more to life than satisfying one's hunger or catering to one's whims. Jesus Christ, who was both human and God, confessed that all he really needed was God's word. Above everything physical, all he needed was God's word. By feeding on God's words, we gain understanding of our purpose, our destiny, and what we need to do with our time on this earth. The word of God is key to lasting contentment. Solomon, the wisest king of Israel, laments in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 14, "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind." Solomon saw that the disobedient, purposeless life would always end up in frustration and emptiness. And ultimately, his life experiences yielded the following advice to every human. And that advice is one that we hear every time Mr. Munson Weiss speaks. It's Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all."